That's why we're here tonight.
Amen.
That's why we're having this mission conference, because he is worthy. And we can play a part in it.
Yes.
We get in the game. We're not going to be caught standing gazing. We're going to find out what is our part.
Yes.
Every nation and tongue, every kingdom and tribe. It's just I'm just excited about what the Lord is doing in the hearts of his people here at Mountain City Baptist. He's doing it in my heart. But Brother Bowman, we appreciate you coming. Thank you. And will you come at this time and just share what the Lord has put on your heart?
Amen.
Well, amen. I loved that choir special. That was wonderful. For thou, O Lord, art worthy.
Amen.
Oh, I tell you what. When you read that portion in Revelation, when it said, who can open the scroll? Can you imagine what's going to happen in heaven? Yes, there is one that is worthy. And he takes that and he begins to peel back those seals. Oh, what a wonderful thing. He is the one that's worthy. And by the way, he's the one that's worthy, that deserves our praise, deserves our effort, deserves our devotion, our love, our worship. And worship is more than just a reflective thing. Worship is doing. Even today, I'm doing a study. I'm preaching this next weekend, Valentine's Day. I preach a Valentine's banquet in Dallas, Texas. And I'll have a special service on Sunday, and I'm preaching. Interesting, I'm doing a word study on love and charity. Many times those words are synonymous with each other. It's interesting, love, we all know what love is. But charity, if you look it up in the original language there, charity is actually love expressed. And love that's not expressed is not true love. And boy, what a wonderful thing. And God, aren't you glad that God so loved us that he gave? And because he gave, we've received. And may God help us now to take that message and to help others receive. Amen. Thank you so much for all of you that are back here this evening. This is a great crowd on a Monday night. And this is fantastic. And thank you for being back. And it is always encouraging to the preacher when you return, knowing who's going to preach. And you still come back. Thank you. I appreciate that. And some of you kids, you didn't have a choice. But anyhow, thank you anyhow. What a blessing. Thank you for being here tonight. And I had another idea to be able to preach tonight. And you know, it's important to be able to let the Lord direct. The Lord's directed me completely different a little bit from what I had originally planned. And tonight, I want to be able to share some thoughts with you tonight. So, I got preach in me. But tonight, I want to just be able to share a little bit. Thank you for being here tonight. And some of the other nights, maybe we'll get back to some good preaching. But tonight, I want to share my heart with you. Will you let me do that? Open your Bibles, please, to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Wrote down several thoughts this evening, and I just want to be a little bit transparent about some things that the mission field, working in Africa, taught me. You know, I went to Africa, having graduated from Bible school, did some postgraduate work, training and linguistics and missions philosophy, and boy, I went there with a lot of plans and a lot of ideas. And but you know, there's a lot of things I needed to learn. There's still a lot of things I need to learn. By the way, when you stop learning, you're in trouble. All right? Always learn. Even in our Bible college there in Kenya, the graduates never fully graduate. You always come back. We have a modular college. And the graduates still come back because we always have an advanced class for them. Because we always need to always be learning. Always be learning. Always be learning. We never arrive. Amen. We always need to make sure that we are always learning every time we come to church, every time the pastor opens up the Word of God, anytime you open the Word of God in your devotion time, you need to be able to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. What do you have for me today? I want to hear from you." And I guarantee you, if you pray that way, if you desire that way, that is a prayer that God loves to answer. Amen. And He will answer. He will teach you. He will show you. We have the blessed author of this book living within us, the Holy Spirit, and He wants to impart that knowledge. He wants us to learn. But there are some special things that I had to learn. I'll share some things with you tonight. If you would, open 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. Paul is admonishing Timothy here. He says, "Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Of course, Paul goes on to talk about the great training that Timothy had. He had a great godly mother. Amen. A godly grandmother that helped to teach him and bring him into the way of truth. So that when Paul showed up, whoa, man, all of a sudden things started clicking right into place. Things fell together. He could connect all the dots, and he was ready to receive Jesus the Messiah. Boy, what a great, great man Timothy became to be alongside the great apostle Paul. But there were some things that were very special to Timothy because the Bible says here, "of whom thou hast learned them." And there's some things that I've learned that are very special because of whom I learned them too from there while I was in Africa. I hope you'll pray with me as I share some thoughts now tonight what the mission field taught me. And let's see if God will have us to learn a few things tonight too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray that you would speak to all of our hearts tonight. Give us those Spirit-filled ears so that we can be able to hear exactly what the Spirit has us to learn. I pray, Father, you would allow me to be a blessing. Fill me, please, with your Spirit and allow me to encourage, to help, to admonish, to exhort. Father, these are hardworking people that love you and truly desire to serve you. I can sense it. I can feel it. There's a wonderful spirit in the church here. And Father, please don't disappoint them. They came on purpose to be fed. Allow that to be done and help us to apply it now to our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Continue thou. Even the phrase right there has a lot of preach in it. We are to make sure that we are always to continue. There's never a time when we stop. There's never a time when we cease from our labor. Never a time when we say, okay, we've learned enough. We've been to church enough. I've heard this sermon enough. I've heard things from this passage enough. No, we need to continue thou in the things that we have learned and has been assured of. In Africa, though, there are some things that God needed to teach me. And one of the things that he does is that he always allows circumstances sometimes to come in. You may know theoretically, you may know in your mind a certain truth, but when it plays out in your life, well, then it makes an impact. You know, the one thing about Africa that everyone asks about is Africa safe. You know, we are wrapped up in an environment today where, is it safe? Are we safe? We all want to be safe. Even sometimes that is a kind of a farewell greeting we give to people. Okay, be safe, right? I've said it, you've said it, okay. But is Africa safe? The answer is no. Of course not. It's Africa, all right? But you know what? Last time I checked, life isn't safe. You know? One of these days, if the Lord tarries, is coming. One of these days, something's going to grab us and we're going to go on to glory. Amen. So therefore, I want to do all I can while I am here on earth to be in the center of God's will, to do what God wants me to do. No matter whether it's safe or not, I am totally and completely secure in the center of His will. And by the way, I am the safest in the center of His will. And I am completely indestructible until God's done with me. I just got to make sure that I am in the center of His will. I am completely surrendered. I have to make sure that I am completely in His will all the time. But is life safe? We all know. No, it's not. But that's always the concern. And I have a mother. I have a grandmother. I also have a mother-in-law. Is it safe? Is it safe? Is it safe? But one thing I do want to let you know is that God always protects His people. There are so many stories I can give you on this type of topic. Literally, I have a couple that would literally border on the complete miraculous. But I just want to share just one little thing with you. This happened in the first year that we were in Africa, and that's why I believe it stands out strongest in my mind. We were in the capital city. We were going to language school. And because we had a small child with us, I went to language school in the morning, and then a tutor from the school came and was able to teach my wife in the afternoon. So I was leaving early morning, and we were staying in another missionary's house there in the capital, and they had a beautiful thing in their house. They had a sliding glass door, which is very rare in Africa to have such a beautiful door, sliding glass, and it was great for letting the air in. Because, you know, we don't have air conditioning or anything like that. Electricity is quite expensive. And a fortunate thing is that we were at a higher elevation there. Just open up the windows and everything would be a beautiful temperature inside the home. Well, every morning, as I got ready to go to school, I would take that sliding glass door and I would unlock it, slide it back. Had the nice screen there and air would be throughout the house and it would be nice. One morning as I went to slide back that door, it wouldn't budge. I mean, it literally would not open. I worked with the lock. I struggled with it. But, of course, as time would have it, I was running a little bit late. I needed to get to school. So I'm like, sorry, honey, just fan yourself real good. Okay, I'm gonna have to go. And, so I left that day, and it was frustrating. And my wife told me later on that evening it was so hot. She couldn't open it. It was struggling throughout the day and had a small child, of course, in the house. I didn't have time to look at it that evening, but since we're all creatures of habit, the next morning I got up, I went over to the sliding glass door, I went to unlock it, and I went to slide it back, and it slid back just perfectly, just as well-oiled, and couldn't believe it. Oh, wait a second. This crazy door wouldn't open yesterday. Well, what's going on now with this? You know, and I used to work in construction before I was in my former life, and we put that stuff in, you know, and I finally got out and I got to looking at it and looked at something was in the track there. What was it in there? And then I was able to do what I couldn't do the day before. I had stepped out and I had looked now underneath to see if something was a problem there with the track, and that's when I saw it. Right under the bottom step was a freshly shed snakeskin of a poisonous snake. I called My wife said, well, you got to come out here and take a look at that. Wow. And she, with her spiritual perception, she goes, incredible. God was protecting me the entire time I was complaining. You know how many times in life we get frustrated? So many times things don't always go exactly just right. Am I the only one? Or yeah. Sometimes you feel like you're the only one. God, what are you doing? He knows exactly what he is doing. We serve a very personal God. Yes, he's the God of creation, and everything around here hangs on him, and it's for him. By him, all things consist. Amen. But that great God condescends to you and I just to take care of just little things. And just the little things that keep us safe throughout the day, many times we don't even know all that he does. You know, that was one of the first things that happened to us for the first few months there. That kind of set the tone. If God could do that, not let that door open, simply would not let it open because, I mean, he could have used any other way, any other method. He could have done anything, but he did it that way. He'll take care of us throughout. I can tell you story, time after time after time, how God brought us through. Many of you can be able to testify how God has helped you. Share that. Share that with the younger generation. They need to hear that too. Make sure you let other people hear that and know that. Why? Because at times we need to hear that. We need to be admonished. We need to be encouraged. And let me tell you, the great God that condescends to us, he wants to condescend to everyone else, and he wants to be their God. And he wants them to worship him and to completely trust in him. And the wonderful thing is that God is completely trustworthy. And all the times and in the confusion that we have, we look to God and say, God, what are you doing in my life? What's happening? What are you doing? We can completely rest in him because he, just as we sang that he is worthy, he is trustworthy. We can depend upon him. God always protects his people. God also, another thing that he taught me is that God always provides. Always. Always provides. And it's not always in the way that we expect it. Have you noticed that? Sometimes we take, and by the way, God likes it when you take his promises back to him. You said here, if I do this, you will help me here, remember? And you can take that to him. He wants you to. He's trustworthy. He loves guaranteeing his own promises. But sometimes we need some spiritual perception on how he provides. Sometimes he provides in a great, obvious, generous way. Sometimes he provides just exactly what we need. Other times he gives even our wants. I think all of us can be able to testify that we have a loving God that truly has been more than generous to all of us. And we all stand before him already completely blessed. But for those of you that may be struggling in a few areas, God always provides. One of the most incredible illustrations of this. And this is a small little story. It's a little bit silly, but so proves that God provides. We were well established in ministry at this point. We had been in Africa for many years. And we had established, I worked in northern Kenya, mostly with the nomadic tribes. And those are the people that, you know, don't have necessarily fixed places where they live. They're nomads. They go wherever the water and grazing and so forth. But they do have, the government has set up certain trading centers. And that's usually where we establish churches. And in those trading centers there. And, you know, it all depend on when the rains and the grasses were. The church here grew. And, okay, and then 2 months later, they're over there at that church, you know. But it's okay. You know, and it's neat how God always provided places like that. And we were able to establish many of these churches. And they're all what we would consider small churches. The nice thing is, with God, there is no small church. Amen. Never. And in this particular Sunday, we were in a remote village, and literally, I was in the middle of nowhere. I don't know if you've ever been in the middle of nowhere before, but in this part of Africa, I was in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you could have gone for hours either direction, and there's nothing. All right. And it's amazing, you go out in the semi-desert area there of northern Kenya, and you would think, there is nobody here. You pull over to the side of the road, and you get out a lunch bag, and you take a break for a few minutes, and all of a sudden, you got a crowd. Where'd you guys come from? It's amazing, all the people that are there. The potential and the need. Oh my. And this is just a side note. When God called me to missions, I said, Lord, please send me to a place that they wouldn't have the gospel unless someone physically took it to them. And that's where he sent me. And I was preaching in this small little village there, and it was just, you know, the typical grass huts, you know, grass thatched roofs and so forth, the mud huts and all that. And we had a great little service there. And my family was with me, and we had traveled together and several hours. And we had like an afternoon service to be able to accommodate for all the traveling. And after the service was over, we went out and got back in the truck, get ready to go home. And all of a sudden, I realized, oh my, I've got a flat tire. Well, that's okay. Every plant out there in that part of northern Africa, northern Kenya there, has a thorn. All of them do. All the trees, all the plants, even I say the grass does, okay? And everything wants to either poke you, bite you, or jab you, or something. There's a lot out there in the bush that want to do that. And, you know, I'm one of the I don't know how you are, but I'm one of the type of the guys that always is prepared. All right? I'm always prepared, and probably way too much prepared, all right? And I'm like, okay, no problem. I had two huge spare tires there on the back, and I had a big high lift jack, and I had a toolbox in the back of the truck. I could, you know, pretty much fix just about everything we needed with the toolboxes back there. But I had one small little bag that was just for changing tires. It had the lug nut wrench and everything all in it. So no problem. So I got off the high lift jack, getting ready to jack it up, and I reached back to that one little bag that's always there. No. It's not there. I'm literally in the middle of nowhere. We're dealing with nomads, all right? 7-foot spears, yeah, you know. Machetes, and even my father-in-law was visiting with me one time, and we went out to one of those areas, and we were supposed to meet under a big tree, all right? So I told everyone, okay, we're going to meet under this huge big tree there. Everyone, when you see my truck come up, you know, come to the big tree there, and we'll have a service right underneath there. So, you know, so I show up, and And I got there underneath the tree. And all of a sudden, all the nomads all out there, they're watching their goats and sheep and cows and all of that. Oh, the missionary is here. Here we go. So they started running towards, you know, the tree. Well, when you got a 7-foot spear, what do you do with it while you're running? Okay, you can trip over that thing. So what do? You hold it up over your head. You don't want to trip over it, right? Okay. You get the picture already? So my poor father-in-law, I didn't know how to, I didn't explain all of that. And thinking back, I'm glad I didn't. I got there, I got out of the truck, and I was already greeting a few people that were already underneath the tree and talking with them over there. All of a sudden, I could hear, Eric? Eric? I looked at my father-in-law. He's white. Of course, you know, we're white, yeah, but he's really white, all right? He's backing up to the truck. He's about ready to climb up on the hood, you know, and I look past him, and of course, in these big fields, there's a whole bunch of people running with their spears right up. I'm like, Dad, it's okay, they're all members. I'm like, oh. Anyhow, side note. Rabbit trail, sorry. But here you go. I'm trying to figure out, where's the bag? So I'm imagining, how in the world am I going to be able to take this tire off of a one-ton truck and be able to pull this off? And if I turned to my wife, I said, pick you out a mud hut, because it looks like we're going to stay here for a while. And of course, my wife's game. She's like, okay, sure. So she walked off and some of the ladies started talking or whatever, you know. And I'm trying to think of what to do. One of the warriors came up to me and goes, missionary, you have a flat tire. Thank you. Yes. And he says, well, what do you need? He says, change it. I said, well, I don't have what's needed. And it's not here. He says, well, what do you need? I'm like, okay. How in Swahili do you describe what is a lug nut wrench to a guy who has never been around a vehicle? So I described a little bit to him, and he's like, oh, okay. Then all of a sudden, a few minutes later, he leaves. Oh, great. All right. So I'm trying to think of what to do. And complaining to the Lord a little bit. And sometime later, all of a sudden, he shows up. He goes, is this what you're describing to me? I looked at him, and he's holding a lug nut wrench. And it wasn't mine, okay, just to let you know. And he's holding a lug nut wrench. And of course, you know, the first thing I thought of, and this is to show you my level of faith, I'm sorry, and this is a confession here. I thought, oh, great, the Lord provides a lug nut wrench, and watch, it won't be the right size. That's how spiritual I was that day. But it was. And I'm thinking, okay, I cannot describe you how much out in the middle of nowhere we were. But God provided a lug nut wrench. I couldn't believe it. I looked up on it and I hooked it up. It was the right size. I couldn't believe it. I said, how in the world did you come up with something like this? How in the world? Where did you find this? And he says, this is exactly what I need. He goes, really? He says, well, missionary, he goes, you know, we don't get any vehicles coming out here. I'm like, duh, yeah. And he says, well, all of a sudden, this, you know, several months ago, we had this big truck come by. And he came right by here, and everyone from the village came out to look and watch the truck go by. And as soon as it went by, we heard cling, clang, tong, tong. He goes, that fell out. And he goes, I picked it up, and I ran after the truck to be it, and waving it, let him tell you, hey, you dropped something. And he just kept on driving. So I figured, okay, well, someone will need it someday. Maybe he'll come back by. And he says, it's been sitting here. The words of Christ came to me, O ye of little. Yeah. God had that already provided a couple months before. God always provides. What are you going through right now? What are some situations right now in your life? God, can you keep us safe? God, can you provide for me? God, can you provide for my family? What are you doing, God? What's happening? He knows. He loves truly. He cares. And if he will provide a lug nut wrench in the middle of nowhere, that's the right size for my truck when I needed it. Oh. I can tell you story after story of all the things God's provided through. I mean, just up until this past week, how God has provided. But what a wonderful thing. We serve a living God. We sing that he is worthy. Yes, he is worthy. And he's worthy of our worship today, right now. What are some things that God's taught me? He's taught me that relationships are important. Do you know, here in America, we're not so relationship prone. We're time prone. Because right now you're probably thinking, I wonder how long this guy's going to speak on these crazy stories, all right? I need to go home, all right? Some of you probably just come from work, bless your heart. I'll hurry up. But we're time prone. As a matter of fact, we build our relationship based on how you respect our time in this culture. But many times in other cultures, they don't think that way. It is very common for people that haven't seen each other to sit and just howdy for such a long time. I've seen it in the middle of the road. Two drivers pull out facing each other. All of a sudden, they haven't seen each other. They flash their lights. Hey, I haven't seen you. They get out. They stop in the middle of the road. They get out. He gets out of this car, and they stand back, and they start talking. I'm like, hello, we are on the road. I've got someplace to go. And everyone else sits there, oh, they haven't seen each other in a while. Isn't that neat? As a matter of fact, I tell our missionaries, when you first get to the field, take this off. People are more important. I wish we had a little bit more of that back today, how people are important. I had a very humbling story. In our town church, we have several skilled people in our town church there, and one of them was a carpenter named Isaac. As I was going into town one day, Isaac appeared just right there beside the road, out from a little village where he lived out, and he waved me down. I pulled over. Hey, Isaac, how you doing? How's work? And he goes, well, I don't have any work today. So I figured you'd be coming into town. I was watching for your vehicle, and I figured I would just be with you all day today. Okay, come on, here we go. So he climbed up in the truck, and so, all right, so we went in town. I had a whole, you know, my Western mentality. I had a whole list of things to do. All right, how many of you are list people? All right, I am not, but my wife is. All right, and she gives me the list. Okay, no, just joking. And so here we go. So I had my list to be able to go into town to get all the things, and he went with me. And one of those days that nothing is available. The things we had ordered did not arrive. All the previous arrangements and everything that we had made, nothing is there. We had a good time of fellowship together. I had some good African chai. And as we were coming back to his village to drop him off later that day, I pulled over and he got out to go by the little footpath into his village. And he turned to me and goes, missionary, he says, I found out your problem now. Really? Yes. He says, I know your problem now. I said, what's that? Please tell me what's going on. And I'm thinking, what in the world did I say? What did I do? What, you know? And he says, missionary, you tried to do two things today. I said, two things. I said, please explain. He says, well, Brother Bowman, he says, we as African men, we decide, we wake up in the morning, decide what is the one thing we need to do today. And we do that one thing. Whether it takes just a little bit of while or it takes all day, we do that one thing and we come home and we're very happy, we feel fulfilled. He goes, you try to do two things today and you're frustrated. No, guys, don't use this against your wife or anything like that, all right? I can already see how this is going, all right? All right, but he says, and I had to think back of my reactions throughout that day. Had I exalted Christ? You know, I talked yesterday about pastoring the town and how we as church members need to make sure we help our pastor the town. Make sure that we're the right example. Make sure we set the right tone. Make sure that we have the right testimony. Are you doing one thing or two things? That's gotten to be a continual joke now in our family. But I always use it to remind me, my one thing I must do is exalt Christ. That's my one thing. Relationships are important. So therefore, you need to be careful what you do when you're going through the drive-thru. You need to be careful when your order doesn't come when it's supposed to. You need to be careful at the hardware store when it's not done right. Relationships are important because relationships involve people. And people are the people we need to reach. Brother Bowman, what else have you learned? I learned this. You're never too poor to give. You're never too poor to give. You know, it was a very humbling experience as I was first there in Africa and I would preach in these little churches there. And they would want to take a love offering for me. No. I'm okay. I've got it. It's all right. Oh no, please. And it was offensive. They've never filled a vehicle up with fuel. They have no concept of what that's going to cost. But they know it cost me something, and they felt like they needed to do something. It's been very humbling sometimes to receive a bag of corn. And I'm thinking, listen, you folks need this corn. I can buy my own corn. Offerings there are unique. You know, many of them, they give the first fruits and they give the things from their tithe. There's not a whole lot of cash given. So offerings there sometimes can be a little bit of a unique situation. There's a bag of tomatoes or some corn. You know, sometimes a chicken, you know, peacock, you know. Yeah. I had one love offering as a goat. Oh, boy. And I learned, as my father-in-law says, the happiest man alive is either the one that just got or just got rid of his goat. Okay, all right. But anyhow, you're never too poor to give. Sweet, in our town church there, there's a sweet dear lady who is now, believe it or not, I got a text message from the pastor on my phone here just a few weeks ago. She just turned 100. When the life expectancy of most people in that part of Africa is about 47. They respect age a lot because not a lot of people reach it. Sweet little Sosho was what they called her. Sosho is in the Kikuyu tongue, means grandmother. And she was the church grandmother. And by the way, she took that position very seriously. She was the church grandmother, and everyone called her Sosho, and she was a dear lady. Hardly had a tooth in her mouth. but she had the sweetest smile. Been to her home, visit her, knows how she lived, know her condition, know her family. It was such a blessing. One day as I was getting ready to walk in the gate there to the church, she met me just outside. And she says, "Oh, missionary, God's been so good to me this week." I said, "Really, Shosho?" "Oh, yes. He's answered my prayers. He's helped me and he's blessed me so much this week." She says, "I brought a little extra to put in the offering plate." I said, "Oh, Shosho, that's God must have done something special." And she says, "Yeah. And I brought something for you too as my missionary." "Oh, Shosho." I goes, "Please." And so she gave me a little cloth. And I opened it up. It was 3 little chicken eggs. I said, "Oh, Shosho, God has been very good to you this week." She says, "Yes." And I get to thinking, my goodness, all the things that God has blessed me with. Sometimes I feel like I can't give. I can't do. Let me tell you, church is there with people that have nothing. And let me tell you, we don't know what have nothing means. They have a little mud hut, grass roof. They have a cloth. Usually most of them will have a cloth inside the hut that divides between their receiving side and their living side. They have a little garden outside where they are subsistent farmers, just barely live, subsist on what they have. But they tithe. They take care of their pastor. And many of those churches have faith promise missions. They support their own national missionaries. Just like the churches of Macedonia. That, by the way, supported the Apostle Paul. Now, how cool would that be? Now, what missionary do you support? And you look on your back table, "We support the Apostle Paul." Oh, wow, okay. But Philippi could say that. Thessalonica could say that. And they were those churches of Macedonia that were deep in poverty. But they saw the purpose of it. And they supported Paul once and time again, so he could be able to continue on that work. Let me tell you, God's been so good to us. We need to be able to, and it was a learning experience for me, that we're never too poor to give. Whatever God has blessed you with, we need to give him complete lordship over our life. By the way, if he's truly Lord of your life, he will be Lord of every part of your life. Will you allow him? I could say more. I got more stories here, but I wrote down just one more here. One thing I learned here is that, you know, you don't need to know much to serve. You don't need to know much to serve. You know, many times we as Christians, we get to feeling like we have to be able to be properly trained in order to serve God. And by the way, you need to be trained to a degree. I do not want to make light of any type of schooling and training or anything else. But many times what we do is we use that as a crutch. And we say, "Well, I can't serve God until I'm trained." No. We got it right here. We can read it. We can train it. The Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We really don't need to know much in order to serve. Many of our churches there, the members can't read. Some of our pastors, when they were first accepted Christ, they couldn't read. We had adult literacy program. We would try to teach them to read, and I've got some incredible stories of, especially one of our most zealous soul winners, when he finally learned how to read. Oh, he was even more zealous. And he would go out and go all around telling people, hey, do you know for sure you go to heaven? No, hey, listen, I can show you, and I can read it to you too. What a blessing. But we don't need to know much to serve. I was very humbled in one of our villages that we had gone to and had already had an established church there going. And I was going around and I was visiting and preaching and just, you know, trying to encourage some of our national pastors. Right before I got ready to come forward to preach, he says, oh, excuse me, missionary, we have one other thing we need to do. All right, church, let's all stand together. It's Bible memorization time. I'm like, whoa. He turned to me and he says, you know, many of our people, they can't read. And I really am struggling at how I can disciple our people that can't read. So he says, forgive me, we're going to have to take some more time in our service, but we have Bible memorization time every service. He goes, okay, congregation, let's go. And they started reciting verse after verse after verse after verse. They had over 30 verses that they had memorized. And I'm standing there going, okay, I know that one. Do I know that one? Oh, my. Wow. I kind of thinking, you know, how many churches back at home, if we had the congregation stand and started, how would we do? I probably wouldn't do very good. These people can't read or write. But they knew the entire, you said, what are the verses they learned? They learned the entire Romans Road on how to lead someone to Christ. They learned how to have, memorize how to be able to have a victorious Christian life. They memorized verses on how to have forgiveness of sin and how to be encouraged in victory in Christ. As I was going through all of those verses, it's incredible. You don't need to know much to serve. See, what are some things the mission field taught you? Let me tell you, it taught me how to live the Christian life without all the spiritual props that we have here in America. Things that prop us up. Are you spiritual? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am. Yes. Do you live by faith? Oh, of course. Yes, yes, of course. Do we really know how to live by faith? Completely by faith? You have to be careful how you answer that, because sometimes God, and if you remember, there has been times in your life when God has caused you to live by faith, and it scared you absolutely to death as it has done me. And as soon as God has brought you through those times, you're like, oh man, I better make sure that doesn't happen again. So we raise the credit limit on our credit card. All right. Or we do anything else to make sure that doesn't happen again. To live completely by faith and to trust in Him. Living without a 911. To be able to dial. Living without a hospital nearby. Living without the amenities. Restaurants, grocery stores, without all the props. Living where there's not well-established churches that have programs for children, that have beautiful songs that we can sing on a screen. Having to translate gospel hymns into a foreign language. It taught us how to live without the props. Let me ask you, sometimes God wants us, and He wants to test us, to know whether we are willing to live by faith. You know that stubborn verse that the Bible says that without faith it is, what's the word? Impossible to please Him. God simply wants us to have simple trust and simple obedience. One of the first hymns I learned as a boy, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. God has allowed us to learn a lot of incredible things. But we need to make sure that we are learning. And we take the things that we have learned and grow with it. I don't know if the Lord, Holy Spirit, has brought some stories back into your mind of how He's provided or how He's kept you safe or how He has done some miraculous things in your life. Or maybe there's been things that the Holy Spirit brought to your life that says, I think I need to trust Him a little bit more in this area. Maybe I need to step out by faith just a little bit more. What? You know, when the missionary is talking about making sure that we do both, the evangelism, I thought you had to be trained to do it. But you know, it's helpful, but you could go out by simply passing out a tract. You don't have to know anything to pass out a tract. Amen. You can be able to share your testimony. Yeah. That's something that no one can argue with. Is your testimony. What about giving to missions? Can we do this? Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, if you truly want the blessings in your life and the blessings on your church, God blesses people that put His heart first. His heart is reaching others. Yeah. That Great Commission, yeah, it's there. The one prayer request that He's asked us to pray for, pray ye therefore the what? Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His... Oh, yeah, yeah. As His one request, that was His... as one prayer request He asked us to take. The Great Commission was His last command He wanted us to do. You put His things first. And isn't there something in the Bible that says something about that? Put Him first. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and... Mission Fields taught me some wonderful things, but life has already taught you if you're willing to learn. And if you'll take some of these things, put them in your life, let God take your life as I am taking mine to the next level, to the next step, to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we be able to learn these things and take this church, not just your life, but collectively, not just your family, but collectively, this church to the next level for the cause of Christ. Heavenly Father, we thank You now for tonight. We thank You for the attention of Your people, Father. Thank You for their patience, and I hope now, Father, some of these perhaps silly little stories, but there are things that You allowed to work in our life. That, Father, You allow them to speak now to their heart and to their life. Give us a time of response tonight in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I simply just want to have a time of response. Has the Holy Spirit spoken to you at all? Has He touched you at all on any of these topics? Or it could be something completely different. I would like to have a time of that we can be able to respond, be able to come forward and be able to pray and say, God, I need You to teach me something. Thank You for what You've already brought me through. Some of you perhaps are going through situations right now. Some of you could be going through some trials right now. God, You've helped me in the past. I need Your help tomorrow. I need You to take me through this. Some of you, you can see something coming up in your life. You can see a trial coming, and you know God's going to take us through. Some, Father, need to go a different level, take that next step in their personal consecration to You, personal devotion to You, personal level of surrender to You. Oh, Father, may us be willing to do this for Your glory, for Your honor, please. In Jesus' name, with their heads bowed and eyes closed, quietly stand together as she begins to play a song of invitation. respond as the Holy Spirit draws you. Invitation's open now. Thank you. I surrender all. Young people, remember some of these stories that I gave tonight. Build on that faith. Give God a chance in your life to do something. Give God a chance to give your life completely to Him. Give missions a chance in your life. Yield completely to Him.
Oh, that Ben would praise the Lord. Tell of His wondrous works to the children of men. That's what you heard tonight. You heard a man just pouring his heart out to you, sharing his heart with you of how good God is. Amen. I appreciate it. That was special. I'll not forget that message. That was special. You know, and some of you out there have been through it, and you can tell your stories too, and that's a wonderful thing. But you know what? What's your story? Young people, you put God first.
Amen.
You follow Him, and one day you'll stand in front of people like that, and you'll be telling stories to them. Because what God does for Him, God will do for you.
Amen.
And that's the good thing about God.
Amen.
And I tell you, that was a wonderful, wonderful challenge. And I know that message will just meet you wherever you're at. And man, what's our next step? What's our next step? Let's take it to the next level. It's an abundant life. It's an abundant life when you submit yourself to Him and Christ lives through you. And you learn to live by faith. Amen. That was good. I appreciate that. Has anybody got a word in their heart tonight? Amen. All hearts and minds clear tonight? Yes, please. Amen. I appreciate you, and I perceive the grace of God upon you. It's very evident. Praise the Lord. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Molly. Amen. He's good to us. Amen. Anybody else tonight? Amen. All right. Yes, Brother Josh.
I just want to thank the Lord for everything He's done for our family.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody else tonight?
I'm grateful for God's
Amen. Lord, it's been good to you, Deb. Amen. I'm thankful for you. Anybody else tonight? All right. It's been good. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, I tell you what. The good thing is we're getting ready to call it a close tonight. We're right back here tomorrow night. I'm already looking forward to tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. And so you come on out and bring somebody with you. And, boy, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And I tell you, you go by and be sure you shake Brother Bowman's hand and tell him how much you appreciate him sharing his heart with us tonight. Thank you, brother. And let's close out with a word of prayer tonight. And Brother Steve, why don't you close in prayer?